In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At some point, I noticed Jesus never engaged in casual conversation in any of the Gospels. The normal banter of everyday life just somehow isn't in there. But certainly he had to have engaged in it sometime, but no, for the Gospel writers, that was not the important part. Only the important parts of his conversation got written down, but I think that's why sometimes those gospel movies, you know, those grand biblical movies, Jesus always comes off as a pretty strange character because he doesn't do anything except say these cryptic religious things. But Jesus is either proclaiming the kingdom, talking about God's healing power, performing miracles, or speaking words of judgment. And the church has saved some of the harshest words of judgment for the middle of Lent, where we are right now. And so when Jesus' disciples come to him with just news about the Galileans who had met a terrible fate at the hand of Pilate, Jesus in his reply slaps them first, his disciples first one direction and then whacks them the other way in response. And so today's lesson begins. They told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. The Galileans, who Pilate probably thought were a threat to him, he decided to send his soldiers to get them. So they went to the temple, they made sacrifice of animals, and the blood, of course, would flow from the animals, and then the soldiers show up right there in the temple and add the Galileans to their own sacrifices. A very brutal and even symbolically wicked death. So they come to Jesus, and they just mention this to him. They told Jesus about it. And then Jesus asked them this question, that do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? What he's doing is he's questioning the common belief that if you got sick, it's because you did something wrong. If you were a sinner, bad things were going to happen to you. And he wanted them to move beyond that kind of thinking. In fact, it wouldn't be bad for us to move beyond that kind of thinking because we do the same thing as well. Every time we say, you know, what did I do to deserve this? That's what that is. And we all engage in that kind of thinking all of the time. And he says, no, that isn't it. He says, no, I tell you, they were not worse than the other Galileans. But then he goes on, and he says, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Thank you, Jesus. What are you trying to tell us here? Then things get worse. He says, how about those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? I mean, this was completely innocent people. They hadn't baited, you know, Pontius Pilate or provoked him in any way. The tower just fell on him. Perhaps a construction accident. Do you think they were worse than anybody else? And he goes, no. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Now, we're not even just running the danger of that. We're just, you know, any sort of accident. And Jesus is saying, it's going to happen to you. This is pretty unnerving. I mean, there they were minding their own business. But I'm reminded about minding your own business. My daughter-in-law is a physician, and when she was in training, she had to go work the emergency room. She says, you'd be surprised at how many people come into the emergency room, and their opening line is, there I was, just minding my own business. turns out that minding your own business is absolutely the most dangerous activity we can enter into. But given that, they were all there, and Jesus is saying, unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. And how are we going to tease the gospel, the good news, out of this kind of response to just an innocent comment made by the disciples? Jesus, had you heard about the Galileans? Now they find out that they're all accident prone, and that unless they repent, this sort of thing's going to happen to them. He gives them a little glimpse, though, of a way forward, and tells them the story of the man who planted a fig tree in his vineyard. And he came and he didn't find any fruit on it. And for 3 years he comes and there's no fruit on it. And then finally he says to his servant, he says, cut it down. It's wasting the soil. And then the servant asks him, he says, look, let me dig around it, put a little manure on it. If next year it bears fruit, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down. And so we get the idea that the servant's wish would prevail and that the fig tree had one more year. Okay, we've got one more year. There is time. There is time now. But you don't know how much time, how long. And when we're invited to repent, to turn around, it means to turn towards the light, to turn towards the faithful path, which is life-giving. It's the direction we really want to go anyway. And why we need to be straightened out on this, I don't know, but we do. And so the calling is there and the grace is there, just as it was there for one more year for the fig tree. Still preciously slim on gospel yet. Looking back to Moses and his calling, Moses had not led an exemplary life up to this point. But then he was out in the wilderness, keeping the flock for his father-in-law Jethro. And it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. And the bush was blazing but not consumed. And then he looks back at it again, and this time the voice of God comes to him. And the voice of God is calling him now to a new life. One of great purpose, of going into Egypt and to call the people of Israel out of Egypt and to confront Pharaoh and to lead the people then through the wilderness and into the promised land. Moses was rather startled by that burning bush. He didn't have a lot of time to think about it, but we've had thousands of years now to think about that burning bush. And he looked at it, and there was the consuming flame of God's presence. But like the refiner's fire, which brings out the pure gold, this was like a refiner's fire. It burned, but it did not consume. The bush was illuminated by the flame, and it was not consumed. And so it is for us, the frightening power of the Spirit, which can come like wind and come like fire, but we find that the fire of God does not destroy us, but rather refines us and calls us into what we are to become and gives us direction and purpose. And so even though we might find ourselves among the Galileans that Pilate is going to mingle with sacrifices, or whether some innocent, minding our own business, accident befalls us, whatever it might be, something larger is still going on, that God is calling to us, perhaps out of a fire like the one which illumined but did not destroy the bush, as Moses was being called to life of great purpose. Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Amen.